The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we have gifts differing according to the grace that has been given us, such as prophecy to be used according to the propagation of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in simplicity, he who presides with carefulness, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be not slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to the lowly. And the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, a marriage took place in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now Jesus, too, was invited to the marriage, and also his disciples. And the wine having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What wouldst thou have me do, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the attendants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone water jars were placed there after the Jewish manner of purification, each holding 2 or 3 measures. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and take to the chief steward." And they took it to him. Now when the chief steward had tasted the water, after it had become wine, not knowing whence it was, though the attendants who had drawn the water knew, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first sets forth the good wine, and when they have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This first of his signs Jesus worked at Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I would like to point out to you again this morning about the candles for Candlemas Day. It is certainly good enough for you to bring candles next Sunday even, because Candlemas Day, as you know, is 2 weeks from today. And whatever boxes or containers you have, be sure that they are at least attractively wrapped and with your name quite visible on the boxes, so that there will be no difficulty in determining who the candles belong to. Every day we receive requests for prayer. Of course, we of the religious communities here offer our prayers for the welfare of those who ask for prayer. But I think that you are such a part of us that you should be included in this request. and that your prayer also should go up to those who have called upon us for help. There are people out there, my beloved, people are truly suffering. Mental anguish added to physical pain, and they are in great need of prayer. So let us not be stinting in this regard. Let your love be without pretense. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, we have very much put away Christmas now, and all of the festive atmosphere is gone for the year. And as is always said, when Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? And now the mood that we find in the church is changing. We no longer see in the church the festivity and the decoration and all of that. That's gone, put away. Now there is a spare moment, and very shortly you will see the mood of the church become even more serious as everything in the church begins to be draped in the somber purple of Lent. What about Lent? And what about what we're supposed to do? We read a lot about Lent, and we talk a lot about Lent. But do we know Lent? Let us first ask ourselves the question. We've asked this question here before. The question being, why did we come here? Why did we come into this church this morning? What is our purpose for being here? Are we here because of a matter of preference, that we prefer this to what takes place elsewhere? Do we make comparisons between what we see here and what is found elsewhere? Why did we come here? My beloved people, we have to come to understand that in this, what we call the service of God, in our service of God, which really and truly determines whether we become saints or not, and as we all know, our only purpose, my beloved people, is to become saints. What is our service? What is our service to God? Why do we give service to God? I think sometimes that we give service in the effort of really gaining gifts from God. We want to be the recipients of that which we want and ask for. We want to feel comfortable. We want to feel comfy. We want to feel as though we are the ones that are getting things. It's us that we are thinking about. My beloved people, that must change. And Lent is organized in order to bring that change about. It isn't for me to be feeling good. I didn't come here for my own selfish reasons. I didn't come here because I prefer this to that. Some of that is in there, of course. We know that. We grant that. But our principal reason for coming to any service, which is God-centered, is to give honor and glory to God. He has to be the recipient, not me. I am nothing, and He is everything. I say that all the time. I am nothing, and He is everything. But do I really and truly believe that in my heart? If I truly believed that, if in the recesses of my heart I absolutely believed that, if I understood it completely, if I am nothing, why am I always going about trying to prove to somebody that I am something? If I am nothing, why can't I understand that and be satisfied with the fact that I am nothing? Let love be without pretense. That word pretense is so important. Why are we always pretending this and pretending that and pretending the other thing? Why? Why can't we simply understand what we are? And that when we come to a place such as this, that we enter into such a place as this, knowing that in fact we are that nothing that we speak of. Lent is coming. And we speak of penance, reparation, and prayer, mortification. And the Blessed Mother is constantly telling us, penance, mortification, prayer, penance, mortification, and prayer. What is the type of our mortification? What is the type of our penance? What is the type of our reparation and prayer? Perhaps we might add a few corporal penances. We might fast more for mortification and penance. We might, as we might say, though we do not do that, and I'll tell you why in a minute, we might have read someplace about the use of hair shirts. We do not wear hair shirts in the monastery. We don't have to. Because in the monastery and the convent, we are hair shirts to each other. And that's where the penance is. I don't have to put it on like I do a cloak. I have to live it. Penance is not necessarily the wearing of a hair shirt. Penance is more. Reparation is more. Mortification is more. Look into our personal lives. Look into the things that we have to do from day to day to day. During Lent, perhaps, we should turn that up a notch or two or three. Let our rendering to each other be just a notch or two better. That costs us something. Because I can never predict what my husband or my wife or my child or my friend or my abbot or my son or my daughter or my priest or my father, whoever. I can never predict on the spur of the moment what that individual is going to demand of me. In today's bulletin, we are referring to suffering. And suffering can be terribly tremendous in simply putting up with each other. And when we put up with each other in close quarters, we find sometimes, oftentimes, we find that the most trivial, tiny, insignificant, almost microscopic things can all of a sudden loom up to the size of a mountain. And they are insurmountable. That's where pretense comes in, or the lack of it. That's mortification. That's reparation. That's penance. Of course we have. Please, it has been brought to my attention in one way or another, because we do bring things to each other's attention, and that's good. Don't anybody get the idea, even though I have said, you know, certain things about the volumes of prayers that we might accumulate to say from time to time, don't anybody get the idea that I am putting down prayer, because I'm not. The only thing I'm putting down is that we have such a multiplicity of prayers that we can't reach them all. As I've said before, that our prayer books are bulging with prayer cards. That's what I'm putting down. But prayer must be uppermost. I am here for the purpose of prayer, to give glory and honor to God, and that's that. That's what you're here for. So prayer is prayer, and we must accept it as such. But my prayer must be without pretense, and that begins by my attitude toward others. That's where my sacrifice begins. That's where my acts of reparation begin. And that's that. We look to the Blessed Mother and we want her help. She gives her help. She gives her help readily. but we have to deserve it. And when she tells us what to do and what not to do, we must do just what she says, because it is by way of her that we, if we have any hope at all of saving our immortal souls, it has to be by way of her, Mary. We're living in very perilous times. And we're preparing ourselves for whatever. We do not know what or for what, but we are preparing ourselves. Are all of our preparations the proper preparations to make? Our best and only preparation that we must make is a spiritual preparation. And in our bulletins, we work so much during the week to come up with something that has to do with the interior life, our interior life, because that, as we have been told over and over and over again, that's where everything that pertains to God is without pretense and that has value. We have to look at our interior lives, our interior life, and change according to that. For us to read about this or to read about that, if we do not see change taking place in us, then what we have read is for nothing. So now, as we do prepare ourselves, or getting ready to prepare ourselves for this great occasion in our lives, when hopefully we will clean house a little bit, let us go into this with a spirit of penance. St. Paul today was very important and had much to say. The gospel had much to say today too. Had a lot to say today. Our blessed Lord fussed at his mother, it would appear. It's none of your business, so therefore it's none of my business that they're out of wine. Undaunted, completely undaunted, Mary simply turned to the attendants and said, do whatever he tells you to do. And she it was. My beloved people, she it was who brought about the first public miracle of Jesus Christ. She it was who threw open the doors. Mary. And he obeyed. Even after that momentary little business, he obeyed. And you know, he loves his mother a great deal. And just as he obeyed her at that time, maybe I should use the word discreetly, but what makes us think that his feeling of obedience to his mother is less now than then? And when she enters in upon us and sees our need, our hope, and our prayer, our request, and we place it to her, she takes it to him. They need this, they need that. And he obeys. He's God, of course. And God obeys her, his mother, of course. Our religion is beautiful. It is full of beauty. Let us look for the beauty that is in our religion. Let us look for the comfort that is in our religion. Let us look at the worship that is in our religion. And let us have our religion as that which will lead us to the sanctity which we must achieve, or else we are failures, my beloved people.